Thank you, Brother Rigsby. Let's take our Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We want to talk about, especially on Grandparents Sunday, influencing grandchildren. We could apply that to parents also. Influencing our children, which has a chain effect of influencing our grandchildren. Psalm 78. Verses 4 through 11 we'll be reading. It's always good to be back here and have this podium on this pulpit, preach here at Worth Baptist Church. This is a great church. And I'm glad I'm still a member here, still am able to serve through this church. I appreciate the music. I hope you don't take things for granted here. I do a little traveling and I hear a little of everything. But I'm glad we have some good music and the blessings of God here. And there are other great churches out there. We praise the Lord for them. Psalm 78, if you have your place, and I hope you have your Bible. If you have your Bible, hold it up here, would you? Just look around. This is a Bible-believing church. And if you don't have a Bible, there may be one right in front of you under the pew or in front of you on back of the pew. If you're sitting at the break, it'll be under the pew, all right? But we're Bible believers. So Psalm 78, find your place there, and we'll read verses 4 through 11. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. That's good, isn't it? For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Now you're getting to children and grandchildren. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. We know that we have in our country something that is called Grandparents' Day. Usually it's the first Sunday after Labor Day. We're a little about a week later on that because of other things. But it was designed and planned by a woman by the name of Marion McQuaid. And her purpose, as she stated, was this. She said, "I hope that such an observance might persuade children to tap the wisdom and heritage of their grandparents." And that's one reason we have Grandparents Sunday, Grandparents Day. Hopefully that it will call attention to the grandparents and the children, the grandchildren of that. Let me give you a couple of facts that might surprise you. There are 70 plus million grandparents in the United States. 70 plus million grandparents. But here's another fact. 10% of those, 7.5 million have children in their homes, grandparents, that are under the age of 18, and they are their caretakers. That's a lot of people. And that is increasing about every decade by 2 or 3 percentage points. In other words, things are not getting better. They are getting worse, and that contributes a lot to that. What are some of the factors that contribute to these grandparents having so many of these grandchildren in their homes where they have to be the caretakers and raise them for the most part? Well, we have unmarried teens, far more than we used to have. That creates some problems. We have a very high divorce rate. And though they might tell you the divorce rate's going down a little, that's simply because people are just living together now and they don't divorce. They just quit living together when they decide to break that relationship. We also have the problem of drugs and alcohol. that is really rampant in our country. And because of that, many times CPS has to take those children out and they give the children to the grandparents so the grandparents would rear those children. We have HIV and AIDS and all of those things, sometimes child abuse. We have people who are in the military who are deployed and somebody has to take care of the children. It's different. A lot of women are in the service now. And so these are some of the contributing factors that throw the grandparent in quite a bit of a different role, and far more grandparents than there used to be in that role. Let me just tell you about five types of grandparents, and you see which one you might be, okay? And here, just these are not exhaustive, but you have the grandparent that spoils the child. They babysit once in a while, but they're very careful about their involvement with that child and about training that child. But they know how to spoil the child. I see somebody punching somebody. No. Number two, there's the grandparents that are a barrel of fun. And they get down the floor and they play with the grandkids. And as soon as they get it over with and the grandkids get in the car, they are so glad. And they are glad when the headlights are coming, but they're even gladder when the taillights are showing when they're going away. And some grandparents are like that. Some just come and show up at family events, birthdays, maybe Christmas, maybe some other events. But they are people that have little significance maybe in the lives of their grandchildren. But then that group I was talking about a while ago, the primary caregivers, this great percentage of our society today, where maybe a parent is divorced and the woman has to go back to work and the grandparents have to take the children. And the grandmother becomes a surrogate mother and the grandfather becomes a surrogate father to many of them. And so you have in one home sometimes multi-generations. You have the grandmother and then you have the child and then the grandchild. And then sometimes even another child that comes along in that family. And so it's multi-generational that are many times in one household. And there are a lot of different contributing factors to that. You also have the kind of grandparent that's sort of the patriarchal, prestigious grandfather, maybe grandmother too, but these are the ones that are much older than maybe the others. There's some young grandparents here today, relatively young. And these are those who are revered. They're slightly feared. They have influence of traditions. They have influence over customs. And they have prominent folklore. They tell all the stories about the family. And everybody listens whether they want to or not most of the time. Some of the factors are age. There's a lot of factors that enter into grandparenting. You really don't want to have a 40-year-old grandchild having a barrel of fun with a 90-year-old grandfather. That's not likely going to happen. And sometimes geography separates us. We have more people, more grandchildren live away from us. And sometimes it's sort of hard to get to them. But we have a responsibility to do what God tells us to do any way that we can. We may have to go about it a different way. Maybe letters, maybe phone calls, maybe FaceTime, or maybe Facebook, or emails, or whatever. I heard about a man that gets all of the cousins and family to send him what's going on in their lives over a month period of time. He posts it and sends it back to everybody else so everybody know what everybody else is up to. I'm not sure I would like that, but at any rate, he's trying to keep the family together. But the main responsibility we have as grandparents is, I think, to pass on the faith. That's what he's talking about in these verses. Passing on the faith. We pass on a lot of things, but we need to pass on the faith. And so we have the exhortation that he gives us that we teach our children and our grandchildren the faith, the important things of life. And that's what he's talking about in verses 4-7. Look again back at those verses. We will not hide them from their children. We're going to teach them, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, the Lord's strength, and His wonderful work that he hath done, carrying out that responsibility of telling what God has done, indoctrinating them in those things. Now, once in a while, I've had over the years a parent that would say something, and I guess they think it's really remarkable what they're saying. And they say, well, I'm not going to force religion on my children. I'm not going to force religion on my children. I'm going to let them make up their own minds. Friend, do you realize what you're saying when you say that? They're young. They're pliable. Their minds are impressionable. These are the most impressionable years of a child's life. Time when people should spend time with them. If not, the world views are going to get them. The influences around them are going to get them. Sometimes teachers, and I know some teachers are good, but I tell you, there are a lot of them out there that they've lost their marbles. And they will impact your children at that young age. Parents are accountable. That's what he's talking about in verse 4. We are accountable to God to see that these things are taught like they should be taught. And so parents, keep in mind, and grandparents, we have a great responsibility. John Phillips, a great man of God who has written a lot of books. John Phillips is with the Lord now. But I quote him. He said, there is no generation gap. You've heard about the generation gap? He says, there is no generation gap. The gap is bridged by careful teaching. And that's true. If you'll get a hold of them at a young age and teach them right, teach them the Word of God, spend time with them, you're probably not going to have any kind of generational gap. Now look at verse 7 and the results of what takes place. Chapter 78, verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. It's all leading to something. And that's what he's saying in verse 5, verse 6. The generation to come might know them. The children which should be born would know them. Who should rise and declare them to their children. And so it's just going on and on and on, and that's the responsibility that we have to do that. In other words, it is a spiritual chain of reaction. It just keeps going. It's supposed to keep going, keep going, keep going. And so a young man gets truth from his father. He passes that truth on to someone else. Not just because it's his father, but because it's true. His father's giving him the truth. He's giving his children the truth, and they pass it on sooner or later. It is truth. So we're talking about influence. Now, I like the Apostle Paul, as many of you would, and to study his life, the life of Paul. But I know one thing about Paul. He would find some young person, some young Christian, and it was his nature to mentor those people. He was a team builder. Paul was a team builder, and he would mentor those people. And one of those was, of course, Timothy. And so he talks about Timothy. He loved Timothy. In Philippians 2, he said, for I have no man like-minded. I have nobody that thinks like me, that's so much like me as Timothy. He had mentored him. And then he said he was my own son in the faith. I think what he meant was he had personally led him to the Lord. He had a background, but he had led him to the Lord. Timothy had a Greek father, and he had a Jewish mother and grandmother. But now look at the influence, and Paul points out that influence to us. And he says it in the Word of God when he said, when I call to remembrance, he's talking to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Timothy, you have faith, you have unfeigned, good faith, which dwelt, notice this, first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. He was giving credit where credit was due. And evidently Eunice and Lois had gotten saved, and they had a great impact. Lois on Eunice, Eunice on Timothy, both of them on Timothy. No wonder Timothy turned out to be a fine young man and a great pastor, and no wonder he was one of Paul's very favorite. So we have influence. In this case, there was great influence. By the way, influence can be good or it can be bad. It can be good or bad. Parents can give good or bad influence. So can grandparents. And if you have bad behavior in your life, and you're not living for the Lord, you're not doing what God tells you to do as a grandparent or parent, then I'm telling you that you are somebody that God isn't going to bless. And he tells us that bad behavior is rewarded this way. For instance, Exodus 34 and verse 7. He says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, notice it, and upon the children's children, there's that chain, and unto the third and even the fourth generation. Father and the son, the grandson, and the great-grandson. If you grandparents or you parents do not live right for God, you don't set the right example, do the right things, and you live you choose to live a life of sin, live away from God, and to have your own way, then you're asking for problems, and it's going to affect your child, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. It's going to pass on down the line. So you can have good influence or bad influence, and we have a significant role in influencing our children and grandchildren with the right things. What a responsibility. Now he talks also about not only responsibility, but requirements. In verse 4 again, I think he's talking here about modeling. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works that he hath done. He's talking about the law in verse 5, the Ten Commandments, I believe. I think he taught them what the Passover meant in the Old Testament. And all of that was passed down. What is Passover Day? And he would tell them that reminded them of Jesus and the blood of the lamb that was shed and placed on the doorpost and the lintels. And when the death angel came, he said, I'll pass over. It's a picture of salvation through Jesus Christ when you apply the blood to your heart and to your life. And so he's talking about good grandparenting. So if we're going to have good grandparenting, there's some do's. One of them is model your faith. Live out your faith in the front, on purpose, in the front of your children and grandchildren. We are to bear the torch, not run around and try to hit them with a torch. We're to bear it. We're not to chase them around with a torch, but bear the torch. Let them follow us. Let them see how we're living. Let them know what's right and what the Word of God teaches. Bear the torch. Don't chase them around with it. Now, he's saying we need to indoctrinate them. Look at verse 8. And it might not be as their fathers. This is a result in a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. There's the problem. They decided they weren't going to do the right thing, and whose spirit was not steadfast in God. They backslid. They got away from God. Just like you see with Judah and the northern kingdom, they got away from God and God had to chasten them. The children of Ephraim, he's talking about, being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. That's not the way you go out for battle. You don't turn around like a coward and go backwards. He's saying there was failure. If you don't indoctrinate your children and them their children, here's what's going to happen. Chaos is going to happen. Problems are going to happen. It isn't going to turn out the way you wanted it to turn out. And so no longer do they have a dynamic faith. And as a result, no longer does the culture have a dynamic faith. We are seeing today in our country the disintegration of our national character. Our society today is revealing that some parents and grandparents have not done their job. And they haven't indoctrinated their children. Years ago, there was a revival in Wales. You've heard our pastor talk about that. And all the things that took place, they shut down the bars. They had no customers. The people, the miners, quit cussing. They quit drinking. they changed their language so much, the mules didn't even know what to do because they didn't know how to respond to the orders because they didn't use vile language. And all kinds of things. People got along with people, and the whole city was, the whole area was blessed by God. There was a great, 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 great revival, and it changed everything. Wouldn't it be good if we could see that? But you know what? They no longer have that dynamic faith there. They don't have it anymore. They don't have it there. And why is that? You had the revival in Wales, But today, if you go to those same Welsh villages, you're going to find not the gospel prominent. You're going to find communism prominent and socialism prominent in those very same areas where they had closed the bars, quit cussing, and started living right, and families were doing good, and everybody was going to church. And it's not there anymore. What happened? Somewhere, somebody broke that chain. Somewhere, the revival dissipated and got away from those people. One analyst summarized it this way. He said, the young have gone left in Britain because there's no longer anything to believe in, not Christianity, not the empire, not the old institutions. And I think that's true, that we've had almost two generations in the United States that are primarily ignorant to the Bible and intolerant to our spiritual past. We need a revival in America. We need a revival in our grandparents. We need a revival in our parents. And so that's what he's saying. They dropped the ball. They didn't keep giving them the truth. They didn't pass it on like they should. They got very pacifistic. They wanted to be accepted. And then thirdly, we have the reward of the passing on of that faith. Go back to verse 7 again very quickly. And here's the reward of it, that they might set their hope in God, that they will see God. They'll place their hope, their future in God, and not forget the works of God, but do what God says, keep His commandments. That's the result that God wants us to have as grandparents and parents. You know that Satan hates every baby that's born? He hates our children. He wants to destroy our children. And unfortunately, in some cases, he's done a pretty good job of it. But he wants to destroy not only our children, but grandparents, listen to me, he wants to destroy our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And we are pivotal. We are important in that relationship. And so we need to realize that and show our children the same things that we knew that were passed on to us, and to carry those down to our children and the grandchildren. And that influence repeats itself. It continues to repeat itself. So grandparents are, here's a number of the things we are, grandparents. We are character formers. We are people builders, grandparents. We are peacemakers. Grandparents really know about that one. We are vision casters. We are mistake correctors. We are suggestion framers. We are truth proclaimers. We tell about Jesus. And we are national builders if we do our job right. And that will ultimately bring many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a little lad, long time ago, when I was 9 years of age, back then, most of the grandparents and all lived with their families. And they didn't put them in nursing homes then. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that's what it was back then. And my grandparents lived with us. They had a little room, kitchenette on one side of the house. My grandmother, her name was Grace. My grandfather was a pastor, a preacher. He didn't have much personality, and we didn't do much together. But my grandmother was a precious saint. And back then, we didn't have air conditioners. We had a screened-in front porch. And the reason you screened it in, because mosquitoes are so big in Louisiana, they'll carry you off if you don't screen in your front porch. And so we screened it in. But many a time, my grandmother would sit out there with me. She would tell me about the Bible. She would buy me little magazines and books and go over. And when I was 8, 9 years of age, I already knew about the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and I knew that He died for me and how to be saved. And I knew that He was coming again because my dear grandmother taught me all of that. And my mother and dad did some, but grandma had the time. And like many of us have time, and we can spend that time and work on spending that time, spend time with them, sacrifice, get out there where they are, spend a lot of time with them, and do it effectively. And as we do that, many of them are going to listen. And one reason I believe I'm standing here today preaching is because of my grandmother Grace. She had an impact on my life, and I was saved at 9 years of age in a little country church in northeast Louisiana because I believe my grandmother had a great impact on my life to do that. And we can too. And we're going to have an impact somehow, some way. So grandparents, let me ask you, are you passing it on? Are you passing on a bad attitude and hatefulness and jealousy and envy and complaining? Or are you passing on Jesus? Are you passing on the love of God? You see, we really need to do it. Pass it on. It really works. And anything that you will look at your life today, I would challenge you. Think about who you are and the pivotal position you have as grandparents and parents, that apply to parents, and realize there may be some things you need to change in your life today. Even if you're a believer, there may be some things you need to change today because your children are watching you and your grandchildren are watching you, and you might need to make some changes today. You and God know that. You know if there's sin in your life, and I remind you that it can affect the next generation and the next generation all the way to the fourth generation. So now's the time to get it corrected. Right now, today, is the time to get it corrected. Has God spoken to you about anything in your heart? Some bad influence you have, some good influence? Many grandparents have bad habits. They pass them on to their grandchildren. The grandchildren says, well, Grandma is a good Christian and he's a Christian, and so I guess I can do the same thing. We need to check our hearts and our lives and see if we're being used for God like we should. Then I would say to you as a parent or anybody in this building, are you saved? It all starts there. We go back to that, don't we? It always starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Grandpa, are you saved? Do you know if you die, you're going to heaven? Grandmother, if you're here today, are you born again? Do you know for sure if you died, you're going to heaven? Grandchildren, do you know that you're going to heaven? Grandpa saved, Grandma saved. Are you saved? What if you died today? Would you go meet him in eternity? Would you see him again? And I'm going to ask you today, as we stand, everyone stand, if there's a need in your heart, you don't have to be a grandparent. God speaks about other needs in other people's hearts. But you might want to come. Maybe you have a lost grandparent. Why don't you come pray for him today? Maybe you have a godly grandparent. Why don't you come thank God for him today? And maybe you're a grandparent and you have a lost grandchild. Why don't you come pray for them? And if God's spoken to you about anything in your life that you need to correct, you're passing that chain on. And I'm telling you, it's not just the public things, it's the secret things that you're up to that you're passing on, and it affects generation after generation after generation. Let's pray, and we'll have our invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our grandparents. We thank you for the Word of God that instructs us to take the law, to take what you teach, to take what you've shown us, and live it out in front of them. Pass it on to them, down from generation to generation to generation. I pray, God, that we would do what we need to do as parents and as grandparents to do that, to glorify you, to live right, to set the example, to lead, not by hitting them with a torch, but walking in front of them, showing them that you're real, that Jesus is the answer, and that you are the reason for living. May you speak to our hearts. And if there's someone here without Christ, I pray they'd be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we sing, you come if God has spoken about anything. Would you do it? Come and be saved. Come and pray.